Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So here's a great question for you. Ready? Is rich a state of mind? Well, I have an author and returning guest on the show. Robert Geniak is my guest. The website, richisastateofmind.com, and that's, of course, the name of the book. And Robert was on a few years ago. Say it isn't so. Robert's already been almost 2 years since you were last on in June of 2012.
It has been 2 years. I don't know where the time's been going, David. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, welcome back. So let's just reacquaint our guests, our listeners, with you as a guest, Robert. You know, you had come on before and we talked about your book. Tell us a little bit about the book. And just so everybody knows, Robert is a very popular speaker and has done the author work and has been on numerous radio programs, television appearances, The Money Answers Show, Peace of Mind Radio, Money Talk, Money Maze, On the Money, Boomer Wealth Radio, and of course, Real Money with David Holland.
Thank you very much for that gracious introduction.
Well, tell us about, so reacquaint my listeners with the book and what it's about, and then we'll kind of get caught up on what's new and different since we last talked to you.
Okay. The thumbnail sketch for Rich is a State of Mind is that Rich is a State of Mind is a novel about personal finances seen through the eyes of a slightly dysfunctional American family that's trying to come to grips with money, investing, insurance, goal setting. What does it all mean? Why do I need to care? Why won't the future take care of itself? And at the end of the day, it's a family trying to share information on personal finance and money across a generation between two 40, late 40-somethings and two 20-somethings.
Okay. And you said it's a slightly dysfunctional family, so it's your typical American family.
Well, it's funny, Dave, because when I speak in front of live audiences, I always say, now I've got to use the word dysfunction with a small caveat. I've got a BA in psychology. I actually understand what dysfunction is truly about.
Right.
And the heart of this family in the story is not really that kind of dysfunctional.
Right.
I would just call them quirky. You know, the kind of family where somebody forgot to send a birthday card, so somebody doesn't show up for the July 4th barbecue, and by next Christmas, nobody's talking to each other.
Wow.
They're that kind of family.
Yeah, that sounds like you say quirky. That sounds like a not unusual American family. In fact, one of my favorite authors, John Ortberg, says everybody's normal till you get to know them. So.
Exactly the case, and given the fact that I live up here in Toronto, Canada, it's highly representative of almost all Canadian families as well.
Well, there you go. So you've taken the approach with writing the book. It obviously can be very educational for folks reading your book, Rich is a State of Mind, but you've taken it as a novel and both in terms of the way you've presented it, and it's also innovative, and I love that because it's not just a straight-up investment book, and here's what alpha, beta, and life insurance is, but take it as a storytelling, which, of course, makes it a lot easier for a lot of people to digest that way.
Well, I didn't think, David, that the world needed another textbook on personal finance. The problem with those kinds of approaches, and there's nothing wrong with them. There's lots of good books out there that take that approach. But for most of us, it reminds us of high school and university and college and mathematics courses and finance courses and the type of things that we really don't want to readdress once we become outside the school realm. And for a book to be readable, which is what I wanted and thought would be a great way to impart the information, setting it inside a family dynamic, readers can go through the book and go, hey, that's exactly the question I had at that age.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Very good. Robert Geniak, he is our guest today. And let's do this, Robert. We'll grab a quick break and we'll come back and we'll dig into what's new and different and some things that we can help our listeners appreciate. So stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back with Robert Geniak. He is the author of Rich is a State of Mind. And that's, of course, the website as well, richisastateofmind.com. And we invited him back. Good guest last time, and we always like to have the good ones back, Robert. So that says something.
Thank you very much, Dave.
So let me ask you, what's changed since you and I last spoke year and a half, almost 2 years ago?
Well, there's a couple changes. Certainly on the personal side, one big change, I got married in August of last year.
Congratulations.
Which, I guess at the age of 51 at that point, never really expected that to happen to me again. And that's had an impact, as you might imagine, on the financial side, because now you look at reintegrating yourself into a family unit and being a partnership again and having to sell a condo and merge into a house and joint accounts and getting your wills redone and getting powers of attorney redone and all of these things that the book talks about and addresses in terms of there's a lot to do with your finances that doesn't necessarily relate directly to your finances.
That's a very interesting way to put it. And I'm curious to hear of anything you may have in going through that process. I know you're not a neophyte in the financial area. You've been, following the financial industry and been part of it for over 20 years. But I'd be curious to hear of anything that was that even was a little bit of a surprise or maybe kind of caught you off guard or something you found interesting as you went through that reintegration, if you will.
I suppose it was less of a surprise, David, than it was just a realization of the number of things,
okay,
the tentacles of your life that go out there that
just a
all
sheer
need
quantity.
To change due to something like it could be a remarriage for myself or it could be one of your listeners who's going through a divorce. And when I think about the kinds of things that changed, the powers of attorney changed. In Canada, and you can speak for the U.S. because I'm not entirely sure about that the moment you get married in Canada, your legal will becomes invalid the day you get married. So you can have a legal valid will, but the day you marry and you sign that certificate, that will is invalidated.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't think that's the case in the United States, and I'm not an attorney and don't play one on television or radio, but I'm pretty sure that the will is valid, but there are some rights that the spouse does have as it relates to certain property.
So then you look at things like life insurance policies, beneficiaries on your investment accounts and bank accounts, all of the things that you did a long time ago that you never think about. Until the point where something impacts them and they need to change. And when I speak to live audiences, I often talk to them about the concept of blended families. And we all know somebody who's in a blended family situation if we're not in one ourselves. And what happens if these what seem to be small details do not get taken care of, and then something bad happens, then all of a sudden things start to unravel. I had a situation with a very close friend of mine whose parents were killed in a car accident 3 years ago. Blended marriage, remarriage for both the mom and the dad, 5 kids between the two of them. A, they didn't have a will, and B, when they went to his company to pull his group insurance policy, the beneficiary on the group insurance through the employer was the ex-wife.
Wow. Well, there you go. And that is a great example. It's a sad example, but it's a great example. And whether it's the blending of families or any, I mean, there's so many aspects to this, Robert, that when people are engaged in this, engaged to be engaged or whatever the case may be, that two things are critical in my experience, and I'm sure you would add to this, is that number one, a lot of open communication about exactly what you're planning to do with the kids or with other potential beneficiaries. And then number two is getting all of it documented and getting all the legal stuff updated. Because if you don't, you're just inviting a real mess. And I've seen it pretty much close and firsthand. I've seen people have an all-out battle over this, and nobody wins. I mean, yeah, ultimately there's a winner, quote unquote, but it is a royal mess, and most people do not wish that on their worst enemies.
The real winner, usually, without any malice intended toward them, tends to be the legal profession who gets involved to try to pull apart the pieces and figure out how it all works. Thing, David, because as you talk to your clients and your prospects and your listeners who listen in who just have a general interest in personal finance, communication about personal finances is key. And the conversations that my wife and I had to have about things like bank accounts, credit card usage, what do we do with mortgages, debt that either of us might have been bringing into the relationship, which fortunately was very, very low on both parts. But those conversations are critical to setting the baseline for having a successful financial relationship with someone. And for those of your listeners who are single, it's equally as important to sit down every once in a while with a blank sheet of paper and map out the financial life that you would like to have for yourself, and then sit down with a professional, someone like yourself, in order to say, is it possible to make this happen?
And how do I get there? And that's, of course, that is where the advisor can help. I had a client recently, Robert, you'll love this, recently sent her daughter and son-in-law to see me, and they came in and we talked, and they didn't really need me to do a lot for them other than to give them that conversation that you just described, that self-reflection, and say, okay, let's go through everything. And we went through everything, and within 60 minutes, we had identified 90-some percent of the things that they needed to do to really stay, get that sheet of paper filled out correctly. And I had my handy-dandy HP 12C that I was running my little calculations on and saying, okay, you're going to have this much money at this rate of growth, and let's pay this off, and let's pay that off. And having that assessment, you got to do that, or you're kind of just bouncing around.
It really is. And I encourage people all the time to take a financial checkup. And I know that I've talked to lots of people who come and see me speak or say, I don't want to use a financial advisor. I said, that's okay. You don't have to use a financial advisor. That's not my message. But my message with taking responsibility for your own personal finances is that every once in a while, you go to somebody who's a professional in the industry and you get that checkup. And the analogy I always use in my presentations is, why does Tiger Woods have a swing coach? Why does Sidney Crosby, arguably the best hockey player in the world, have his own personal trainer? These guys are professional athletes. They know this stuff. The reality is, while they're in the game,
right,
they can't see the game they're playing.
Exactly.
And that dispassionate third person can take a look at how they're approaching the game and playing it and offer suggestions for how to make a good game better. And I think that's probably a great deal of what you do with people who come to you looking for that second opinion.
Absolutely, Robert. And I encourage everyone I don't do self-promotion and say, hey, come see me when I'm talking or interviewing a guest like you, Robert, to the listeners. But they need to see somebody and get that second opinion, because there's a lot. I've had somebody in the other day, just as an example, and they're paying some very high fees, and they just had no idea until we went through and we did that second opinion. They're like, we didn't know that. We were never told that. And it's like, okay. I mean, it's just that third party perspective that they can't self-examine. And a lot of times people don't have the energy, the time, or the desire, or the knowledge to be able to do that analysis.
No, and it's interesting, because money and mathematics is probably one of the scariest things that we do in our life for most people. There's a little bit of math phobia going on, and in some cases it's based upon what happened to us in high school or college. And there's a line I use in presentations that 5 out of every 3 North Americans is numerically illiterate. And it's funny, because one of two things happens, David. It either draws an immense laugh, which means I know they got it, or they look at me and go, I don't get it. in which case it really scares me even more as the presenter.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, what may surprise some people, and I know you know this, Robert, is that a lot of financial planning and planning your future is not math. A lot of it is concepts and how you structure things and things like risk and things like, you know, guarantees and all of those things that have nothing to do with numbers.
Absolutely. And in the mere fact of imparting good habits with how to handle your money, you don't need to be a mathematical genius to be a successful, to have a successful financial future.
No.
And in fact, I'd argue that the most successful people aren't that good at math, because what they do is they get help with the stuff they don't understand, and they spend their time focused on the things that, A, they've got a passion about, that for many people help in part them earn their income so that they can have the future they want.
Yeah, they're making the money, and they can have somebody else count it for them.
Absolutely. That once you get the baseline set up and the goals in place and retirement accounts open and education accounts for the kids open, and you've got the baseline set, then I encourage people all the time, go out and have some fun. That too many people think that when it comes to money, well, I've got to scrimp and I've got to save, yeah, and I'm not supposed to have any fun, and I'm not supposed to have a Starbucks latte until 2016. and I tell people all the time, if that's the approach to finance, you're going to find it very difficult, and you will go off the rails, because it'll be great for about 3 months, and then one day you'll just say, oh, the heck with it. You know, this is no fun. I can't do this. And then the next thing you know, they've spent themselves into a bit of a hole.
Yeah.
I think money's a fun thing. It allows you to do some great things in your life, and it allows you to have some fun, like that's going to Starbucks or a movie, or, you know, taking a mini vacation with the family and kids.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, and he needs to get to Starbucks to get some of their new beer, wine, and other adult alcoholic beverages coming soon.
Oh, I hope they never bring that to Canada. I know they're doing it in the U.S. But I the thought of having a beer at Starbucks would be no more interesting to me than I couldn't even give you an example.
Well, they think it's going to work. We'll find out. Robert Geniak's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. He's a speaker and an author. Rich is a State of Mind, and that's the website as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back with Robert Geniak. I tell you, I love the conversation, Robert, and Rich really is a state of mind, and that's the website, and that's the book for Robert, and what he's authored there with his fictional approach to addressing financial topics. So, you know, the key thing, I think, for people, and you mentioned a couple of things before the break, you know, the message, the takeaway from your book, I guess is what I want to get to, is that people can really embrace this and be able to have a plan and be an active participant in their financial future.
That's a great line, being an active participant. That it's possible to have the financial future that you want for yourself or for yourself and your family combined. It takes a little bit of work. You need to create a baseline moving forward. You need to keep your eye on a couple of things. You need to have some fun along the way. It helps to get a second opinion every once in a while. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to work with a financial professional, if you already are, then you're probably one step on the way to getting there, because they will help keep you on track towards that future.
Well, you know what was interesting? I just had this question, literally, just had this question, Robert, from one of my clients. And he said to me, he goes, you know, now that he just retired, he goes, now that I'm retired, and we're helping him with his finances, he goes, now that I'm retired, I'm watching and hearing a little bit more radio and television and things like that. And he goes, and you know, it seems like that there are folks, some financial people really are negative. And he goes, what do you think is going to happen to the market? I said, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's going to go up and down. Okay. but here's the question. He says, why do they say that? He goes, it seems like there's just so many different places that we are bombarded by different financial opinions. And I found that very insightful. And I said, well, I said, here's your answer. I said, what are they recommending? So what a person has to be always on guard when they're, if they choose to work with a financial professional or not. If they're doing things on their own, they need to be equally on guard for this, Robert, is what is the pitch? What is the person selling? If somebody is preaching doom and gloom and that tomorrow, whatever tomorrow is, that the world's going to come to end, the paper money's going to fall apart, the debt's crushing us, all this stuff, then what are they pitching? So I asked that question to this client. He goes, well, then they were talking maybe that you want to include gold in your portfolio. I said, there it is, right there. They're selling gold. So they're going to beat up. So the challenge for people now is that there's so much information coming at them from all sources. They have to be aware of that and remain above it and independent thinking and be diligent and self-determining.
That's a great message. I say to people all the time, one of the best things we can do is the general public as it relates to our personal finances is to turn off MSNBC and CNN and stop reading the newspaper, because the vast majority, probably 95% of what they talk about from a personal finance perspective never really does affect us as the individual. And the noise that's out there that scares us, and what I tell audiences all the time, the role of the financial press is not to educate you about personal finances. It's to get you to buy their newsletters, newspapers, magazines, watch their show. And how do they do that? By trotting out 25 professionals to talk about every topic from 25 angles. Nobody agrees with each other. And at the end of the day, we, the general public, sit back and go, holy crap, we're doomed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole point. That's the agenda. Instead of actually breaking it down and explaining to people so they can use it, that it is a constant, hey, look behind you. I see a shadow. That's what it's like the whole time you watch some of these programs.
No, it really is. And imagine if you would fall, for whatever reason, it had taken a 7-year nap from 2007 until today and looked at what your investment portfolio was like in 2007 and woke up now and took a look at the portfolio. You hadn't changed the thing that was in it in 7 years because you'd been having a big nap. You'd look at the amounts and you'd go, oh, well, I guess nothing really exciting happened in the last 7 years. And my investments are up a bit. And yeah, I might have wanted them to be up a bit more, but they're up. And okay, where do we go from here? And over that last 7 years, you'd have missed the housing meltdown and economic Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And you'd have missed a couple of geopolitical wars. And you'd missed some oil upheaval and gold going up and down and up and down and the invention of Bitcoin and all of this stuff that, quite frankly, had very little to do with how you'd feel about your finances today if you didn't know what happened in the last 7 years.
You're right on the money, Robert. In fact, that client I mentioned followed up with the question. So tell me again, this part, when we have a diversified portfolio with multiple different strategies, but this one part over here, David, that is, you say this is going to be pretty much equity invested. It's for growth. So tell me again the time period for that. Is that short, medium? I said, that's your longer term money. And that's money we're not going to touch, and we're going to let it. The market's going to go up, and it's going to go down. And if something's alive, it's got a heartbeat, and the market is very much alive, and it's going to go up and down like a heartbeat. And that's for when that money is for when a gallon of gas or a gallon of a gallon of milk costs $16. That's what that money's for, and that ties right into your example of the 7-year nap.
It's interesting people's perspectives on time these days, and you watch people with impatience standing in front of a microwave going, why is this taking so long? And the concept I refer to as the microwave mentality. People want everything hot, fast, and right now.
Yes.
And the concept of delayed gratification, and I did this with a high school class. I'm very fortunate. My wife's high school teacher, she brought me in to have a chat with them. I wrote the words delayed gratification on the board, and I asked them what meant. And these were grade 11 students, so, 16, 17 years old. There was only two out of a class of 35 had any idea what that phrase meant.
Wow. Well, and Robert, we're going to we'll have to have you back. I'm running out of time, and I think probably need to have a whole other conversation on that. Robert Geniac, ladies and gentlemen, speaker, author, written the book, Rich is a State of Mind. The website is by the same, richisastateofmind.com. Robert, it is always a pleasure. We'll have to have you come back and do this again.
I'd be thrilled to, David. Thank you very much for the conversation.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.